broadcasting live every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Now, in case y'all didn't know, they've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. Archives of this show are available on every major podcast provider. And you can find video archives, merch, and more on their website, godfathersofpodcasting.com. Now, here are your hosts, two guys who've been broadcasting online since 1996. The godfathers of podcasting themselves, Donnie DeSilva and Chris Tidwell.
Hello, everyone. My name is Donnie, and that is Tid.
Oh, my God.
And I'm doing this because it frustrates the hell out of him.
You sound so damn ridiculous, so foolish, and I don't even think that you understand that, like, even the most simple of voice modulators.
Yes.
Are going to help you at all, my friend.
I know. That's okay.
Okay.
I'm comfortable in my own skin.
Okay, whose skin are you supposed to be in now? Could you do impressions with that thing? Could you try to do Bobby's World?
I could do Bobby's World without the modulator.
Yeah, but imagine how it would sound with the modulator.
Pretty fun.
See? Yeah, it blows it out. It blows it out. It's too high. It's too much.
I wonder if I could do it on the other.
Like,
I see trees of green, red roses too.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous.
All right, I'm sorry.
All right.
Anyway. Hi, everyone. I'm Donnie. This is the 160th installment of this stupid show. And that man over there to the, on my left, you're right. That man is my longtime partner. We go together like fish and chips, like bread and butter, like cereal and milk. Although depending on the day, that milk might be old and curdled. Speaking of old and curdled, this is Chris Tidwell.
What's your brand? What's your percentage of milk that you would use with your cereal though?
Oh, I never thought about a percentage.
Like, are you a 2% guy?
Percent of the bowl is filled with milk.
Hold on, there's more questions. Are you like a homo guy? Like, are you a half guy? Like, what, you know what I mean? A full whipping cream? Like, what are you pouring on your milk?
Who puts whipping cream in their milk? Is that a thing? Or in their cereals?
I'm sure somebody does out there. But like, what was your go-to growing up? 2%? You look like a 2% kind of guy.
2% was definitely my go-to growing up. And then in college, I tried homo, everyone. Everybody. And yeah. And then now I've settled on oat milk.
What?
I like oat milk.
Why?
I don't know. I like it. I like the taste. I like oat milk.
Listen, I don't mind. I don't drink any. I was a 2% growing up as well, you know, and then got into skim for a while there, right? Which is just basically watered down milk. And even before that, as a little kid, it was powdered milk. Get that shit into you. Powdered milk is the abomination of everything that is possibly considered holy. I don't care what anybody says. It's the worst thing walking the face of the earth. But this oat milk stuff and almond milk stuff,
Almond milk on cereal is bullshit. It's like pouring water on your cereal.
What about for cooking?
I'm sure it's fine. But, you know, it's not my go-to. And if you want to throw a little almond milk in your coffee, have at it, Haas. Oat milk tastes to me the most like cow's milk. And I just like the fucking taste of it. I still get 2%. But if you're asking me, what do I throw on my fucking Cheerios? It's going to be some oat milk.
I don't see the purpose of pressing all of those oats just for a little bit of juice. Seems silly.
You got to milk them by the nipples.
No, the oats don't have nipples. Come on now.
That's sexist.
Come on now.
I don't want to hear that shit. Anyways. So listen, guys, we have all kinds of weird stories, news, all kinds of fun stuff that we want to talk about. But what we are going to do is do all that stuff with this week's guest. We are so happy So you know what, ladies and gentlemen, it is time right now for the big hello. And this week's guest, she has hung out with us on this show twice before, and we liked her so much we had to have her back again. She first gained fame as a model and on-air personality. Tid and I first discovered her way back in the day when she was a featured part of The Naked News. It may not have been the perfect job, but a plus, she never had to spend a second deciding what to wear to work. Since that time, she's established herself as a major cannabis advocate, and she's become a fucking powerful social media influencer with millions of followers. She uses that massive platform to talk about the benefits of cannabis as part of your lifestyle and mental health. She recently told her followers that she had shut down her OnlyFans account and was walking away from adult content in general. We wanted to talk about this new phase of life with her, so here she is. Ladies and gentlemen, she keeps it classy and it's never tacky. She loves to laugh and get a little wacky. She loves to smoke that funky tabacky. She loves oysters and probably sushi mackie. Now give it up to Miss Child's first name, Jackie.
Wow, that was my favorite intro. So good. Holy, that was a good one.
Hi. It gets harder, right? The more times you're on, it gets harder to keep wowing you with intros.
That was a good one. That was a really good one.
Next time you come on, I'm just going to do this one again and hope you forget.
Oh, okay. No, I won't. Because I like Mackie and I like oysters. And I'll remember it.
You know what you need to do, Johnny, is you need to start like, just take that bit, funnel it out, clip it, send it to the guests and have them use it as their ringtone. That way it's always there.
That would be, wow. Right,
then they could hear it all the time.
All the time.
Just constantly pumping your tires. Just constantly.
Except for my ringer is always off.
Yeah, same. Who turns their ringer on? Like, what kind of sociopath has their ringer on?
Ever.
Do you keep your ringer on, Tid?
Yeah.
That's because no one calls you.
It's because I don't care. Like, I was like, oh, it's ringing. And then I'll shut it off on them. But if I don't, then I forget.
You know what my problem is? Why I often have my ringer off? It's because I have 10,000 apps on this thing, right? And I'm one of those guys that isn't responsible enough to go into the settings and turn off the notifications for every app. So it's like, I get a notification every 30 seconds of something on my phone that has updated. And I don't, like, I hear a sound, boop, 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 boop. And I'm like, oh, someone messaged me. Oh no, I see. It's just the fact that the 49ers just beat the shit out of the Philadelphia Eagles. That's what the notification is. By the way, Tid, you're welcome. Ah, I told you so.
For what? Oh, your make-a-wish? For your make-a-wish? Well, we like to do the things like that. You know, it's the holidays.
You told me last week on this show that we weren't going to beat y'all, and we beat y'all. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Sorry, Jackie. We had to get a little dick measuring out of the way before we... before we jumped in a little further with you. But listen, thank you again for taking time out. I know that you've got guests over and you're doing your thing right now and you're sort of hiding out with us. So listen, we're grateful. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So let's jump into this because I looked it up. The last time you were on this show, believe it or not, was December 8th. 2022, almost exactly 1 year ago.
Wow.
Today's December 7th. So a year and a day.
Happy later. Anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Yay.
So I went back and I listened to that show. And if you haven't heard that show, you all should go back and listen to it as well. But on that show, you were joining us specifically to talk about the fact that you had just relaunched your OnlyFans. Mm-hmm. And you said, this is a quote, "I love OnlyFans, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, man. This is who I am." Mm-hmm. So today on December 7th, 2023, is this who you are?
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll is who I am. I mean, but I'm not that publicly anymore.
Gotcha.
So I had to, it's always sort of like a public persona, and who I am out in the public is not who I necessarily am at home.
Totally.
Right? Like, it's always, that's how I've explained it to my family, to my boys over the years, that it's just like when you see Pam Anderson naked or you see her somewhere or whatever, that's not how she is at home all the time. She's still a mom and she's still like she has a public persona.
She might often be naked at home.
Yeah. And that's how I did what I did for the last 25 years and with having children, like how it was explained to them. It was just my job and it's acting and it's a public persona. And then it just started weighing on me. And one of my sons brought it up that maybe it's all that adult content, or maybe it's, you're vibing with the wrong people, or maybe, it's some low vibrational stuff, mom, and you really are not that person. So it was at my 50th birthday. I took my family on a cruise that was paid for by OnlyFans.
And, oh, the irony.
It was a great cruise. It was the last time I ever made any adult type content of any kind, that I did anything of that sort. And yeah, I was done. I had just gone on a trip with Naked News. They had me back. It's been 10 years since 10 years since I started, I think. Yeah, I was 38. So just over 10 years. But anyhow, it was, I'd gone away with them, had a great time. And I didn't fit in. And it wasn't because I'm so much older. It wasn't that at all. I just couldn't see a future in it. I didn't get excited about the same things other people were getting excited. I walked away while I was making a ton of money. I just left.
That's the interesting part, because when most people shut down their OnlyFans account, it's because they're failing. No. Right. Yeah. And you were in the top percentile of earners.
I just couldn't do it anymore. I just couldn't. The kids saying things. I mean, they're men. They're in their 20s. Right. Saying what they're saying got me thinking about it. This is the first time I'm saying this publicly, I guess. I quit smoking cannabis. I'm not Snoop Dogg. I quit smoking. I'm still using edibles and oils and I'm 50. I just don't want to smoke. That's all. I just feel that I need to be a little more conscious, a little bit more aware of what I'm inhaling, what I'm ingesting, I'm still 100% behind cannabis. I am a massive advocate and activist. That's my community. I love them. I'm not smoking anymore.
I was going to say, look, you can stop showing your boobs online, but if you're going to stop doing cannabis, we got to have a talk about who the fuck you are.
And rock and roll. I just went, I was the guest of the tea party for part of their tour, and it was amazing. They're with I'm Mother Earth, and it was really, really cool. So I'm still sex, drugs, and rock and roll, just not publicly.
Let me ask you a question since you mentioned the tea party. True or false? Jeff Martin, lead singer of the Tea Party, is one of the biggest dicks in the history of Canadian rock music.
I don't know if I can say that because we're such good friends.
I can say, look,
Donnie and I are good friends. Yeah, exactly.
He's a dick.
You know what? He's very interesting. I would say that 10 years ago, the first time I met him, eight years ago, I had to interview him. And right before the interview, he said, do you want the angel or do you want the devil? And he was really weird. He was just really weird.
Flirty? Is that flirting?
No, it was awkward and weird. It was just weird. He gave a weird vibe and the whole thing. Now, as he's in a happy relationship and he's also aging and things are, he's a storyteller. He's a phenomenal storyteller. But I will tell a story. It's not mine to tell, but I'm telling it anyway. The Sheepdogs were on tour. And they had a conversation with like a headlining band, and they're like, well, how are we going to get back there? How are you going to know it's us? And Jeff Martin apparently said, I don't need a badge, or I don't need to introduce myself. Like, everyone knows who I am, or this, my face is my entry. My face is my backstage pass. He had this whole big thing. I'm like, what the hell? Like, there's a lot of stories about his ego.
Yeah.
He's a phenomenal storyteller. He's a great musician, and they played with an orchestra a few months ago, a full orchestra. It was so moving. Like, I was in tears. I couldn't believe I went to Windsor. I lived in Windsor. I was a stripper in Windsor. Like, they were coming up the same time I was. It's kind of cool now that I consider them friends.
This is a roundabout way of Jackie Childs saying,
he's a dick.
Is he the nicest guy all the time? No, he's super awkward. But sure. Their drummer, the other Jeff in the band, is phenomenal. He is a kind-hearted, charity loving, amazing person.
Jeff Martin might be a dick.
might be.
I'll say this. One of my very good friends, Tid knows him as well, from way back in the day. I went to high school and I went to college with this guy. And we hang out whenever we get a chance. My buddy, Chris Meelan, he is straight. However, wow. If he had the chance to make out with Jeff Martin, he would take it in 2 seconds flat.
He's a very sexy guy. I can see that. There's something.
He just worships Jeff Martin. He loves Jeff Martin. And I've never loved any person that much. Like anybody.
Like he's like a sexy pirate. He wears these puffy shirts and he's got these crazy rings everywhere. And he's got a scarf and he's got funny little glasses. Like he thinks he's in Paris or something. Like, I don't know.
You know who wears puffy shirts?
Who?
Dick.
Just saying.
He wears a lot of puffy shirts.
Yeah. Well, two things, puffy shirt and glasses indoors. You're probably a dick. Either that or a blind pirate.
Yeah, it's like Pirates of the Caribbean. He might think that he's like Canada's, you know, Johnny Depp or something, right?
You know, I get that vibe.
So let's rewind for a second just to put a cap on this whole thing. Like walking away from a lucrative OnlyFans business, deciding that you're no longer going to do adult content. You're very open about mental health issues and your own mental health and struggles with and adjustments to different situations. Do you think that your mental health declined during the time you were putting so much energy into running an OnlyFans?
It was a lot. It was a lot. It's hard to sort of handhold all these strangers. Perfect. Like you're naked.
It's not their hands they want held.
And just the amount of time and energy put into it, the conversations that are had, I wasn't feeling very sexy. I was feeling like I was really, really acting, like really trying to put in the work and put in the work. And it was stressful. It just wasn't. And they would ask me questions and I would go a day or day and a half without answering. And that started to happen a lot. And I was just like, I don't know if I, and then I started to look into, should I hire? You can hire, they're called chatters. And you hire a team and they talk to them for you and stuff. And then I'm like, that's even phonier and faker. Like, that's not me. Why am I going down this rabbit hole of low vibrational shit? And you know why? Because I was making a shit ton of money. But that's not what I was about anyway. Like, that's not like, that's why I walked away. That's why it was too much for me. It was weighing on my mental health. I wasn't feeling very sexy. My bank account was full, but my heart and mind was absolutely empty. It was just dull. I just felt... Mm. Like I was, and then I would see the other girls, no offense, my God, but I was just like, why is this? This is my crew now. These are my peeps. These are my colleagues over here. And I freaking came too far to have some of these people be in
my... expand on that. What do you mean by that?
They're a hot fucking mess. They have nothing else to offer the world than twerk in there. Like if one more freaking brain surgeon would come on and say, can you twerk for me? Can you do whatever? I'd be like, oh my God, like what is going on here, buddy? Like, don't you want some intellectual conversation? Don't you want some, like, and they didn't know. And then I'm like, look where I am. And I'm trying to. Okay.
Hold on. Do you understand how hard it is to jerk off to an intellectual conversation?
No, because I can. I love it. I love
that. Doesn't mean Tid hasn't done it.
I'm just saying, if you understand, because I want to know how much I pay a minute now going forward.
Tid, are you touching yourself right now?
Always.
Yeah, I thought so.
Always. I just, you know what? And I also, when I was I had sort of let it die out a tinge. Like I was only going on every other day or every second day. And I was on way more than one platform. There was lots of them going. I was working with the Naked News again, and they have a platform called Tempted, and I was helping. Okay. And then Cam4 and all that. They got me into that. And it just was a mess. And it's not for me. It might've been for me 20 years ago, but it just wasn't for me anymore. It wasn't.
It turned into work.
Yeah. And not.
And so and it stops being fun.
It wasn't fun. It wasn't fun for me anymore. And then so many girls messaging me saying, oh, I want to be like you, or, oh, you're such an inspiration or such. And I'm like, I got to cut this shit, man. So that's why I took all the fake hair off. I took my lashes off. I took my nails off. If everyone wants to be like me, I think I should try and inspire like you to be kinder, gentler, more natural, more real, more, you know, like just cut the shit. Like it just, so that's.
I love that.
It was hard. It was a hard decision. It was a big deal. And my kids are like, did you find God? I'm like, absolutely not. I'm not selling that bullshit. But so
was it one of those like, you know, come to self, you went up to like a mud hut someplace up north and like had to sit and like, you know what I mean? Really, really like
the ayahuasca.
Because you're walking away from a very lucrative business, mm-hmm. right? At mm-hmm. some point when you were younger and you were doing this stuff, or when you first had your kid, who you say is like 20 now or whatever, 25, right? Yeah. 25, at some point 20 years ago at least, when he's 5 years old and you're sitting around and you're still, you know, and you're doing what you're doing, you had to say to yourself, though, there's going to come a conversation where maybe not from him, because I'm going to raise him the right way and he's going to understand all of this, but one of his asshole friends is going to say something to him, right? You had to see the writing on the wall. Did you not like, yep. did it take you by surprise when it actually did happen? Or were you like, haha, I fucking got this answer ready to go. Right. Like
I was what prepared
was
for
going
it.
On? Yeah,
I was prepared and it was difficult. It wasn't fun. It was the conversations that we had were not easy. And there was a lot of, but you did this. And at this time you thought it was okay. And you said this, and how come it's okay for you? Like I would hear I have two boys in their 20s, certain conversation. I'd be like, whoa, what did you just say? And they're like, mom, as if like there was started to become, I'm like, wait, I can't be the head of this family here. And this is the road. This is because if it's okay for me, it's okay for them, right? If I'm making it look fine, why isn't it okay for them to start to have these thoughts and conversations and things that were going, that things that they were talking about? I was like, this is not what I want. This isn't what I want. And it's not what they wanted either. I think they were testing me, but the conversations were hard. Of course, the conversations with my husband were like, he's like, so are you going to get a job or are you, you going to do that? Because he's like, this is like, you know, there's a lot going on here. We're building a house in Jamaica. I think I said that on the show last time. Like there's a lot of stuff going on that was relying on that income. And
I mean, Walmart's always hiring.
I'm not a people person. I could never work at Walmart. I'm not good like that.
I can tell you though, somewhat parallel level, but not the same, obviously. I can relate in this way. I recently had a situation. This is a week or two ago. I'm hanging out with my kid who's 11 and he almost wipes out. Like there was some snow outside and, or some ice or whatever. And he almost wiped out and he catches himself. Now this is a child who is well-mannered and has never dropped any curse word in front of me. He hears them in movies and TV shows, and I'm sure he's dropped a few at school with his buddies out on the playground, but he's never said anything like that in front of me. He almost wipes out and he goes, oh, shit. And he stops himself. And I look at him laughing, like, what were you about to say? And he goes, shoot. And it's like he's stopping himself. And I said, that's what I thought you were going to say, because obviously you're not going to start cursing in front of me. And he takes a breath and goes, you swear more than anybody on your podcast. And I'm like, whoa, you just turned that shit around on me, didn't you? And I said, how do you know? My podcast is not for kids. He's like, I watch it.
Like, see, they're watching, they're learning, they pick it up. I want my kids to be the very best version of themselves. And I think at 50 years old, it's time for me to shit or get off the pot. Stop doing cheap and easy shit. Use your fucking brain. Be a better person. Stop with the low vibe crap. I don't need to be a gangster. I don't need to sell drugs. I don't need to sell sex. I don't need to whatever. Like that's like my whole life. And I've loved it. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm not doing it anymore. People change. And I'm in Mexico, like I said, on the cruise. And I just, yeah, I was like, I'm not, by the way, guys, I'm quitting this. I'm quitting that. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And that's it.
The problem now is the only OnlyFans site that I can subscribe to is Tids. And he doesn't update very often. Like, it's frustrating. I'm constantly refreshing going, dude, can I get some more feet?
You know? I get some more feet. you know what, I still watch like all the, like on X, we call it now, Twitter, whatever. I still like engage with and share all my friends in the industry, and they still are my, like, I've been friends with people for 30 years that do, right? And all over the world. Like, so I'm still, and they're all like, congratulations and good for you or proud of you and whatever, but they're still killing it and still doing what they're, I'm not judging at all. It's just for me, mentally, it's just not good for me anymore. It's just not good.
Is there anything, I know this is hard to say and to be definitive on, but you know, if you had a crystal ball, is there any circumstance that you could see? Cause like December 8th, 2022, you literally said, I love OnlyFans, and December 7th, 2023, you're like, it's not me anymore. Is there a scenario that could happen? Like the bills start to pile up on that Jamaican house. Is there a scenario where you could say, fuck it, I'm going back?
No, because actually this has been a really, really tough year. My husband hasn't been able to work. He was in a wheelchair most of the summer.
Yeah.
And he runs and manages gyms and a physiotherapy clinic and stuff. And he hasn't even been able to dress himself or shower himself or anything for months and months, or drive or anything. So
how's he doing now?
He's good. He's got a little bit more to go, but he's driving. Thank God, it's been 2 weeks. He's driving. He still can't put his own shoes and socks on, but he's great. We got rid of the wheelchair. We're donating it actually next week. We got rid of the wheelchair, the cane, all that stuff, all the fancy old men shit that was all over the house to help him in the shower and on the toilet and on the whatever. All that too. It was very hard. Seriously, to create sexy content and to get into the mindset to entertain all these other men while my husband's not well.
And you're basically a personal support worker 24/7.
Yeah. Like, it just wasn't so timing. Everything just worked out the way it did. And I won't go back. I won't. I'll have to dust off another part of my brain and use it and earn a living.
So December 9th, 2024, if you're back on this show going, guys, OnlyFans is back, you know, I'm going to call your ass out.
I can't see it. I can't. I don't know. I'd sell mushrooms before I'd sell sex again. I don't know. Something. I'll do something. I'll figure it out. You know what? The cannabis industry, I've had such a love hate. They freaking love me. And there's been the last couple of weeks, there has been job offers and opportunities coming in from all over. So I really don't. I'm not going to go back to that. I'm going to focus on what's really, really important and what can something I can leave behind. Like, instead of all the nudes all over the place, like, I want to actually do something.
It's a nice opportunity for you to have this chrysalis, this metamorphosis in your life, right? It's the natural evolution. And it's nice. On one hand, though, it is a little sad, because when I went back and listened to last year's interview, Tid had maybe my favorite line of the year when he said, you know, Jackie, we've grown up on your tits. And maybe his best line of the year. And now we're just going to have to learn to do without them.
You can just go back and look at them again.
They're still there.
It's still all over.
Watch this, guys. Yep, there they are.
You're something else.
It's just that easy for me. But that's how impressionable you've been, Jackie, on so many lives.
That's funny. So since I've sort of slid away, because I haven't made a big announcement really, but since I've stopped that, there's also a lot of really great opportunities in the cannabis space with a lot of like women-owned businesses, some really great cannabis companies, and there's some movements like on brain health as far as Alzheimer's and things. And those conferences and those speaking opportunities, whatever, are all reaching out to me now. So they were hesitant before because of the sex, for sure, whether they say it or not. When there's sex shit plastered all over and you're subscribe to my OnlyFans, but then I'm being paid to speak as a lecturer at some conference and whatever, you know, like, it just doesn't, it was just time. It's a good time.
it does tend to, I mean, for lack of a better term, it sullies the image, right?
Sure. Like,
because the cannabis industry has fought for so long, so hard to try to maintain an image that is acceptable out in public. For the longest time, it's always been like dark, seedy corners. You got to park around the corner and go up a fire escape to exactly. get a bag for the week. You know what I mean? It was always like this thing, but as we learn more and more about it, it's becoming more socially acceptable, the cannabis part. But as long as you attach that trailer to it, that trailer being sex or hard drugs or mm-hmm. some kind of, you know, demonic, whatever they want to call it to it, then it tends to take away from what their message may or may not be. Right.
For sure. And I would like to help more than I hurt. Right. Like I have mm-hmm. to, the world doesn't revolve around me. I'm just figuring that out. Right. I want to add value. I hope I'm helping more than I'm hurting. And you're right that the stigma and the stereotypes of cannabis, it's hard enough that they yeah. don't need like the lead. They're like the biggest influencer in Canada in the cannabis space was a sure. stripper and on OnlyFans. And like, it's just, let's get that gone. Let's get that. Let me just.
It's tough to be both. You're right. It is tough to be both, but I will say this. As much as cannabis has fought the negative stigma in the court of public opinion forever, right? So has sex work. Mm-hmm. And I actually thought that to me was the marriage for you that always works so well. You were the fucking stigma breaker, right? It's like, here's this well put together classy chick who, if you didn't know any better, you just think she was this cool chick that was baking you some fucking cookies and that's about it. But then meanwhile, yeah, Tid loves cookies. But then meanwhile, it's like she has this duality to her, right? So I do think that the sex industry and the adult industry has lost a powerful advocate. And I do think that there's something to be said for that. And I don't want to sound like, oh, it's good that you're getting out, blah, 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 blah. But I do think that you are a powerful advocate for that world, right? And for legitimizing that world. I do understand, though, the weird spot it puts you in when you're also trying to legitimize a whole other world and have that conservative mindset of weed being business and not just for fucking burnouts.
Right, exactly.
So I get it, but at the same time, I think that there are people within your former industry that would go, fuck, we lost a good one. We lost someone that's not just TNA, but she had a brain and she could speak eloquently about our world.
I'm still trying, like I said, no hate to the sex industry and sex workers or anything. They're still some of my dearest and closest friends. And sure. that's what it was fine for me for all these years. So who am I to judge? And it just, you're right though. Like it was kind of nice. Like it was a cool pairing, the two of them.
Yeah.
But it just, and the Taboo show was just in Toronto. The Taboo, they've reached out a ton of times and they asked if I could be sort of a host or if I could. Right. And I'm like, I'm out. And they're like, but we celebrate cannabis. We're part of the cannabis community as well. That would be, you know, you could share a message that way. I'm like,
that's the thing. If you were strictly a cannabis advocate, you could probably attend that show and it would be fine. Mm-hmm. But because you're actively leaving the sex world,
right,
going back in for a quick payday makes it look like, you're never getting out, bitch.
Exactly. I'm not dipping my toe into it at all. That's the
same thing. What are they going to market you as first? They're not going to market you as cannabis advocate first. Nope. On their sex shows. They're going to market you that suits their...
For sure. Jack is a sex worker and we're going to have former Naked News and da, 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 yeah, yeah. And I'm just like, it's yeah. just, I'm just, yeah. And
I get it. I get the struggle. It's the same thing like Tid, you know, for years he worked as a media buyer. He worked in an office. Now he's a respected manager and runs a business. And people might look at him and go, he's just a dumb pro wrestler that's been dropped on his head a bunch of times. Here I am trying to be taken seriously as a radio personality. And really, people just want to keep putting me in, like, you know, Hollywood movies and porn because of this gorgeous face. And it's like, fuck, guys, respect me for my audio talent.
It's true. It's always the same role. He's the before.
You know what I like though? In business, I can pull out my sex worker hat every so often, because in a room full where there's maybe only one other woman and there's 10 to 12 men there, I always know how to maneuver and manipulate and sway the conversation. I I've learned a lot over the years.
What does that look like? Explain to me.
What does it look like? Well, it looks like listening. It looks like intensely listening. Uh-huh. And then just dropping an idea. How about this? And then, you know, you have to, I listen to the gentleman. I call them gentlemen. I agree with a lot. I nod. I'm very intent. I make a lot of eye contact. I'll even lean in, but then I drop why I'm actually there, what I need to, in order for us to, you know, to work together and for this, I'm always have an agenda and I'm really good at getting heard.
And when you're doing that, here's what's going on in the minds of the guys in that meeting room. Okay. They're like, she keeps staring at me. Yeah. I think she wants me.
Exactly.
If I agree with whatever she wants, she's going to fuck me.
That's exactly what they think.
When did you learn that? Yeah. Because it obviously comes at an age, you know what I mean? Where you understand like what you have going for you and how to use it to your advantage, right? When did you first learn?
I learned it probably 10 years ago, but I didn't understand how to properly use it until the last 2 years when I was I was the chief content officer of a media marketing and tech company. So I had to deal with big business, corporate gentlemen cannabis is big, big business and it's, it's taken very seriously. So that's when I actually learned to use that. I would get invited for coffee or for lunch or for whatever. And I never went before. And that, because I was like, oh no, it's not a good look. I don't want. Now I'm like, no, I'm going to go because it's up to me what happens or doesn't happen. And I can sway this conversation and I get this deal done. We will get the sponsor we need. So, yeah, it's taken some age and maturity, I guess, to figure out how to use it. And it's not, you know what,
old habits.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? I also want to make sure that I'm not hating on anyone. Like people reach out to me all the time about, I want to start an OnlyFans. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I never poo-poo it. I just say, you think long and hard about it. You got to, you know, once it's out there, it's always out there. It's a tough, it's not easy. It's consistency. It's a lot of work. You know, what are you thinking about? What do you think past this next paycheck? Because what happens in the future? What if you want to be like, if you want to be a cop? What if you want to work in politics? What if you want to, you can't do any of that. So a teacher.
What? We have a whole bunch of stuff that's on our list of shit we want to talk about this week. Ooh. And you know what? We thought we would throw some of these topics at you and get you to weigh in on some shit that's on our mind. Okay. You cool with that?
Sure.
Even though you're totally not prepared for any of this.
That's okay.
And this first topic I was not prepared for either. Tid threw this at me right before we started the show. Tid, you had a little thing you wanted to play, right? To get us set up for this next bit.
Oh, well, it is that time of year, right? It's the holiday season coming up, right? It's the start of Hanukkah. It's fantastic, and we all have to sit down because we have time off, and we have these wonderful things that we like to watch every year as tradition. And so let's find out. Favorite holiday movie of all time. Like there's got to be a go-to, you know what I mean? That's just better than the rest. I know what mine are, but I mean, when you think about holiday movies, you think about, you know, the classics like Bad Santa. You think about the
classics. What? Here I am thinking he's going to say Miracle on 34th Street. No, Bad Santa.
It's a Wonderful Life, isn't that?
Yeah. Okay. So we all view TV a little bit differently. All right. But there's got to be, you know what I mean? We get into this time of year. So what is it? And I'm sure that it's different because y'all have children. So growing up, I'm sure that there was ones that you watched year after year after year, you know, right. But what is it? What's going to be the go-to for you guys this year? Jackie, we'll start.
Oh, I love Charlie Brown's Christmas. Like I love Charlie Brown's Christmas. Like love it.
All right.
Like literally one of the best.
Like just, I love it. Home Alone's a Christmas movie, right? Isn't it? Okay, isn't it Christmas time?
So here's the thing. I want to qualify this list. Home Alone, I say, counts because Christmas is a central theme of the film. The family is traveling because it's Christmas.
Right.
But there are a lot, if you go online and Google best Christmas movies, there's a lot of bullshit on there that's not a Christmas movie. Just because the movie takes place at Christmas time doesn't make it a fucking Christmas movie, okay? Gremlins is not a fucking Christmas movie. Die Hard is not a fucking Christmas movie. Those are not Christmas movies. Christmas has to be part of the theme.
Gremlins is totally a Christmas movie. The Christmas gift was a fucking Mogwai.
It could have been anything. It could have been a fucking Halloween. It could have been a gift for any occasion. Christmas
but that was the Gremlins theme. 2. That was Gremlins 2. Come on.
I like Gremlins. Elf 2. Elf is
Elf?
Elf, yeah.
Elf or yeah. Elf?
Elf.
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 E-L-F.
Elf.
Are we saying Elf?
Elf.
Elf. I said Elf. Am I not saying Elf. It right?
Elf?
Elf.
Elf.
I like smiling. Smiling's my favorite.
That's amazing.
Will Ferrell.
Yes.
The only thing I think about with Elf is when we had, remember Tid, when we had DC Glenn on the show, one half of Tag Team, whoomp, there it is. And he said to us, get this, Jackie, just based on his royalty from the movie Elf, because Whoop, There It is in the movie Elf. Now, it's in tons of other films and commercials and stuff, too. But he said just from that movie, he clears almost $500,000 every year.
Nice.
And so when we had him on the show, we said, so any plans to make new music? He goes, why?
Wow. That's he doesn't have to.
Why?
That's awesome. Wow.
I mean, that's all I think about now when I see Elf is, DC Glenn getting paid.
Like, you know, there's that Rudolph and Frosty and the little drummer boy and all that stuff. It just makes me sad. I didn't have the greatest childhood, and I think about it all just depressing as fuck.
You know what? You're right. Because a lot of those old 50s, 60s, 70s holiday specials, the style and the tone is dark and depressing as fuck.
Yeah. So for me, it was a year without Santa Claus. And all because of like two characters in the show, because they weren't, here's the thing. There was always these crossover things, and Santa was in a bunch of different ones. You know what I mean? Or you had Frosty was in a bunch of Rudolph in a bunch of different ones, but A Year Without Santa Claus had two characters in it that were only in A Year Without Santa Claus. And that was the Heat Miser and the Freeze Miser. They were the brothers who were the kids of Mother Earth who did the most fantastic songs and bit. So as a kid, that was like this bit to me. So it always just stuck, and it made just them. You could take the rest of the movie and shove it up your ass. Less, you know what I mean? Like, I was never really a fan of Christmas style movies. Right. So
depressing.
I'll shout out three. One is, if I don't watch this, it doesn't feel like it's the holiday season. That's Christmas Story. Okay.
Right.
It's not the greatest film ever. It's schmaltzy as fuck.
But it's Christmas.
The new one that they did, a couple of years ago? That's dog shit. Like, don't even waste your time on that. That is dog shit. Like, little Ralphie's all grown up. Fuck it. No. In my world, Ralphie is Bart Simpson. He's never over 10. Okay. So Christmas Story to me. Don't judge me. Christmas Story to me is on the list. The other one that's there, mainly because I know the people involved that put it together, and I'm not just sucking him off because he will be on this show in 2 weeks from tonight. Stefan Brogren, Snake of Degrassi fame, he directed a Christmas film a couple years ago called Chance for Christmas. It's like a Hallmark style Christmas movie.
Oh God.
You're totally sucking him off right now.
The conceit of this film is there's a woman in the show who's like putting together a bunch of she's a YouTube influencer and she's working with this company to promote their products and all this shit, but she can't figure out what she's doing wrong. Something is wrong, her lack of Christmas spirit or something, and she keeps reliving Christmas Eve over, and it's like Groundhog Day. She goes to bed, it's still Christmas Eve. Goes to bed, wakes up, it's still Christmas Eve. She doesn't know what the fuck is going on. She remembers, no one else does. So that I kind of dug because it was a different twist on a Christmas movie.
Okay.
One came out last year, and this will be on nobody's list. But it's now part of my go-to. Every Christmas, I'm going to watch it. Violent Night. Okay?
Is it scary?
Oh, with the dude from Stranger Things.
With the dude from Stranger Things. What's his name? The cop. Hopper.
Hopper. Yeah.
Whatever his real name is. He's Hopper. Violent Night, Jackie, is... show Hopper is supposed to be Santa, but he doesn't want to be Santa anymore. He's like, fuck Christmas. Nobody believes.
Fuck OnlyFans.
Yeah. Exactly. He quit his OnlyFans. So he gives up and he's basically drinking himself into oblivion. And then while this is going on, John Leguizamo, who I love, and a bunch of other dickheads are trying to pull off a massive heist of this rich old bitch in her giant mansion. She's got tens of millions of dollars in her house and they're trying to rob her. Santa sees what's going on. Little kid that's in the house is like, Santa, help us. And he's like, fuck yeah. And Santa goes in with like weapons and he just starts fucking going saw on everybody. He just destroys everybody in the most violent ways. It's so Hallmark. Stupid.
It's a Hallmark movie.
We all look for it on Hallmark.
It's a love story. Yeah. It's a love story.
It's a rom-com. It's a rom-com.
You know what we can mention? National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Like National
classic.
Lampoon's, when they put, is it Christmas Vacation or Christmas Lampoon? When they put, like, oh my God, Chevy Chase movies.
The Griswolds.
The Griswolds. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love
classic.
That's what I was thinking. My trip to Mexico was going to be like the Griswolds. We're going on family vacation. It was going to be all, instead it was Come to Jesus.
In Mexico.
In Mexico. Of all places.
Right?
Of all places.
That's Tid's Shangri-La is Mexico.
Yeah. That's my go-to. Sometimes, Jackie, sometimes you just have to make a phone call that says, listen, I'm sitting on the bench at the airport waiting for the flight to leave first thing in the morning, because sometimes you just got to leave. Sometimes you just got to get away immediately. And where do you go? You go to Mexico.
Mexico. Well,
that's where I go. Let's go to Mexico for a few.
I love it. It was a great place to think.
Do you have a go-to?
A go-to place?
Yeah.
Jamaica. I always go to Jamaica.
No, in Mexico.
In Mexico.
You know, Jamaica, Mexico.
No, I've been, I can't even think, I've been to everywhere in Mexico. We went to this cruise, we stopped at four places. I don't even remember them.
It's Playa de Jamaica.
Amazing. I don't know. What's your go-to?
Cozumel.
Oh, beautiful. Really? Like
Cozumel. Because you get island, you get island time and Mexican food. Mm. So it's fantastic.
I love Mexican food. Oh my God.
Right?
Love it. Yes, I love it. Love it. Love it. And I love the people. Like, it was great. It was a great place to have an epiphany.
The most fun is going to an authentic Mexican restaurant with Tid and having him order everything in Spanish.
Dude, you speak Spanish?
Just food.
Just food. Yeah.
Well, a little bit more. But
I know very like Dos Equis.
Yeah. So I know it's island, it's Cozumel, it's island Spanish. So like if you start speaking mainland Spanish to me, like, you know, Telelatino, like the telenovelas, you know what I mean? Like I'm sitting there like I'm lost. I am completely lost. Like it's gotta be very spoon fed to me. You know what I mean? Like I get by as a gringo. You know what I mean?
I love all the cartel movies when they speak Spanish. I know all that stuff. Like
Yes.
Okay, I wanted to throw this one at you.
Pendejo.
Very good.
Pendejo.
Yeah. I learned that from Cheech and Chong.
Queen of the South. If you watch that, Queen of the South. But like
not
the biggest
Santa.
Drug lord.
Who's in that?
She's a female drug lord in Mexico. She's the biggest. It's based on a true story. It's phenomenal.
Oh, yes.
It's nobody's like, there's no real famous people. They're all character actors. It's really good though. I love
it. They're going to see your story on film.
When I'm dead, I'm sure. I have stories and I have things. I got asked to be on a podcast about like rock and roll lovers, like they for groupies. They wanted to talk about all the, and most of them are in great relationships and I'm their confidant. Like if I went on this podcast and told all, like, that's not good. That's not, right. I mean, and also it's disrespectful to my husband. Like if I share all these intimate loving stories that I've had over the years with different musicians and which I mean, I'll save it all till I'm dead.
We won't tell anyone.
No, not ever.
Has there been a plan to write a book at least?
So I wrote a book 10 years ago, 12 years ago. It was a book with 14 other women. It's called Ignite Your Inner Warrior. It's an international bestseller. And
but
it's
the
about
story has changed now.
Dramatically. Actually, the story in this was, it started with a suicide letter I had written a long, long time ago. It was while I was going through a really nasty divorce and a lot of stuff was going on. And it was a note to my family. And that's how the story starts. And it says, like, you know, this happened and that happened. And this is what I was feeling. And this is what I was thinking. Da, da, da. And then it just, and at the end, and it's like, and then I realized I don't need to because I got all this off my chest and I'm a good person and I'm doing my best and da, 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 da. And that's it.
Ironically, ironically, I never once contemplated suicide during divorce, only during marriage.
Divorce, it was terrible. Woo.
Oh, I hadn't. Listen, I've had one of the nastiest ones. We can talk about that, but
it's so bad. I don't like talking about it. Ugh, it makes me itchy.
Let me throw this story at you because I saw show up.
Just so that we can be perfectly clear, I am still in a very loving relationship of 24 years.
Aww.
Well, you love her. She's fed up.
Well, listen, I don't think you guys understand how Stockholming really works.
That is the truest shit you've ever said.
Does she listen to these?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
The best part is I've been around, right? And Tid will say something stupid and offensive. And I look at her to see her face and it's just like, not impressed. She just no sells it. Like it's just another day with Tid.
Yeah. She is very much the yin to my yang.
So that's why it works. You know, right.
Right. That's 100%. I have the ability to be me. And she understands it and she has the ability to do her thing. And I understand it. And we've been very, very fortunate because I don't think that there would be a divorce as much as there would probably be a murder. And I'm just saying this because it would be me getting killed. And I want this on record.
Put this on record. Oh, God.
Yeah. Jesus. She already told me she picked out your spot, like where you're going to be buried, everything. It's all set. Yeah.
In the house, it's all getting caved in, and it's I'm in out. The house.
Oh, shit. Well, that's why it works if you're complete opposites. And you have your...
Let me throw this story at you because this I have a news feed on my phone for all these stupid stories, so we can possibly talk about them on the show. And I saw this one today, and I thought, now this, okay, look, there's a lot of stories that come in each and every week with stupid world records. This might be the stupidest one ever, okay? And we've seen some stupid ones. Two Australian men visited 99 pubs in 24 hours to break a world record. And I thought, wait a minute. Okay, like 99 pubs? Like in my best days, I do 9. You know? 99 is a lot of pubs.
Like, do they actually have a drink in each one?
That's what I had to look into. So then I read the story. Here's what it says. These two 26-year-old fucks went around 99 different bars in Sydney, Australia. Their plan initially was to have an alcoholic drink in every bar. Then they decided, no, we're going to have an alcoholic drink in every other bar because they said, we don't want to be too hammered to finish the task. And then they said partway through, doesn't say when, it says they quickly changed this plan because Sydney has strict intoxication laws. And we realized we'd be too drunk to get into the bars we wanted to go to. What is this record? We walked into a bar? What the? This is bullshit.
Oh my God. I must hold the record in shoe stores or whatever. Like I can do 99 of those in a
yeah.
day. I don't have
what
to
is
buy
this record.
They didn't do mushrooms. If they would have done
this
mushrooms,
is like having a record for doing the most mushrooms in 24 hours, but we didn't actually want to do mushrooms, so we held the mushrooms and we talked about doing them.
That's not a record. That's not right.
Stupid.
People are short. Like there must be. We must be running out of ideas for records.
99 pubs visited in 24 hours. Visited. So you walked in, and you walked out.
Yeah, that says a lot about the area that they were in, though, that there's 100 pubs within distance, because otherwise, who drove?
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Huh. Because then they might be getting themselves arrested as well.
Yeah. Wacky ass. Back in
my younger days, I used to think the idea of pub crawl was a lot of fun.
Me too.
And I remember, like, when I first met Tid and I ran this little promotional company for nightclubs in Toronto, I used to organize pub crawls for college and university kids. And I'm thinking, oh my God, this is so much fun. And then I would go do them and I'd go to one pub, have a drink. Yeah, let's go to the next one. I go to the next one. Yeah, let's go. By the third pub, I'm done. Like I'm settling in. You know, like that's it.
Yeah, I've done that. Pub crawls where you have like 12, you have to go off. Yeah. You meet at noon and it's supposed to be until midnight or whatever. And I'm 3 in and I'm done. I mean,
but you get a t-shirt.
I get a pickled egg at the bar.
Oh, yeah, right? Oh, pickled eggs are so fucking rad.
Oh, I love them. Dude. Oh,
my God.
Now, do you like the sweet ones? Do you like the sweet ones? Like they got a little bit of sweet, like the British style?
I like all of them. The grosser the brine is, like the dirtier the old, the reach in the bottom and hand it. And then they're like, we don't have any plates. I don't freaking care. Give me that napkin. And I'm just, I love a pickled egg.
Yeah, you know what you just reminded me of when you said you get a free t-shirt? When you and I for a while worked at the Zoo Bar, the rock and roll sex bar on Queen Street in Toronto, we witnessed women doing things much dirtier than Jackie ever had on OnlyFans for a free t-shirt.
For a free t-shirt? Oh my God.
And Ed the Sock made them do a lot of those things.
Oh,
yeah, but I made them do a lot of things with no t-shirt. let's get that square.
I haven't done anything gross for a free t-shirt. I've had some standards.
Right?
Car.
Some car,
Bentley. House, yeah, a trip to Jamaica,
right? House, I can't wait for that damn thing to be built. See? Oh my God, get me out of here!
Yeah, I remember that one night. That was the one night that the rock and roll sex bar actually lived up to its name when a girl decided to get on stage and blow a dude for a free t-shirt.
Wow, oh, the good old days!
It was 100% cotton.
If you can't blame her.
Jesus Christ.
It wasn't no 50 blend.
There was a bar called the Phoenix too, right? Is that still around?
Yes. Yeah. Phoenix is still around.
Oh, it is? Wow.
It's one of the few holdovers. Yeah. All the bars that Tid and I used to work at are out of business.
Crazy.
It's fun.
Jackie, I want to ask you this story. This was one that Donnie had sent, and maybe you still have it there, Donnie. I'm just kind of going off of.
Yeah, I'll pull it up.
I'm just going off of the remembrance of it, but it looks like there's going to be some testing being done inside of the cannabis world.
Oh, the OCS.
Yeah. Yes.
Can you explain this in layman's terms for the people out there that don't know this story and explain why it's so fucked up and what's happening?
Well, why don't you read the story. Tell a little blurb and then I'll explain it to you.
Sure. So the headline here says Canadian province, which is Ontario, where we are, plans cannabis testing program to tackle THC inflation. And essentially what they're saying is the practice of labeling cannabis products with exaggerated THC levels is becoming widespread and common.
Right.
It goes on to talk about how the labeled THC amount could be set at plus or minus 15% of whatever the claim is on the label. When you're buying a 5 milligram fucking gummy and it's plus or minus 15%, What are you buying?
it's a mess. You know, okay. People, they did a study. They did, there was data showed that most people walk into a cannabis store and say, give me your highest THC. I want to buy your highest percentage of THC.
Right.
So all the brands got wind of that or gone on to that, got smart to that. And if their joint was only, their one pre-roll was 20%, they're labeling it as 38%. They're labeling it as 40%. They're labeling, and it just, now it's astronomical. Like my kid would come home and go, Mom, this is 48%. I'm like, please. Like,
right.
It was ridiculous, but it was a sales tactic, because that's the layman, like the regular person would walk in and say they didn't know exact like strains or terpenes and all these different things. They would say, what's your highest THC? So then the cannabis industry started fake labels. So now the OCS, the governing body of our, for Ontario anyway, who is, I also feel bad talking shit about them. I have so many friends that work there, but my God, what a bunch of monkeys. Like, but
your friends working in a place don't dictate the policies of the place that they're working. Well, right. So it's okay. It's okay to shit on management. It's okay to shit on the corporation and the deeds that the whole corporation is doing, because we all understand that everybody needs to have a job.
Right.
Right. So you're not, so you're not shitting on your friends, right, unless your friends are the ones making policy.
So, well, the president, David Lobo, I forgot, he's not a weed smoker. Like, as much as he says he is and he knows what he's doing, you can just tell by the policies and the way things are being done in the last several months, these people have no real relationship with cannabis. Like, okay. It just pays their bills. Whoop, shit, I keep doing that. Anyhow, they're blowing up the THC numbers. So now the OCS is going to take it all. And before things go out, they're going to grade everything. They're going to review it. They're going to run it through their processing. And they're going to put like another stamp, like they have their tax stamp and they have their don't do this. And this causes harm. This is not for children. Like their things are going to be covered in labels. And they're going to say what they say, the percentage. But like you said, it's going to be 15% either or. So it's just another. And also, they are adding more money to the taxes and the fees that all the different brands have to pay in order to perform this service they're doing for the community now. This is they're doing it all under the guise of safety and transparency. And it's just, it's a mess. Cause like on the other end, like you said, say you buy something that you're expecting to be 5 milligrams, but it's really 20 milligrams and that's safe. That's within the whatever. That could knock somebody on their ass seriously. Like they're not really doing this. Is just another government bullshit. This is just something that's going to cost all the people, everybody paying taxes and whatever in the industry. When you buy whatever, it's just going to cost more. It's costing the brands more, and it's all in the another safety thing, and it's absolutely not a good thing.
It's absolutely a cash grab for, you know, lack of a better term. Do you think that the cannabis industry, and I'm just throwing this out there, maybe wacky, I don't know. Do you think the cannabis industry is being forced to pay for all of the government money that was given away for the last couple of years because of COVID grants and overspending? And, you know, they see this cash cow that is still, you know, pardon the pun, green to the overall process of the kind of money that the government could be bringing in. Are they milking this too fast? Is it going to force people to go back to black market stuff?
I hope so. I think it's an absolute mess. I think legalization is an absolute mess. And the whole thing is a cash grab. And the dispensaries, like the mom pa dispensaries, you have to be in the industry 4 years before you make any money. The taxes on the products are insane. Once a year when you get these like tax things that you have to put on all the products, the government tick, like the little ticket, the little stamp that says THC Canada, blah, blah, blah. Those are really, really, really expensive. And often brands, and it's happening almost daily, they pay that and then they go bankrupt. They pay what they, or they can't pay it and they go bankrupt. But it's all to do with this, like the OCS. It's all to do with government regulations, and they're just nonsense. And then they put all these marketing campaigns on TV and at the movie theater, and they're the biggest drug dealers of all. But and no one else can advertise. No one else can be here, there, and anywhere. I mean, you can advertise in strip clubs because that's an age-gated place. So that's why that's fair. Because I was like, wait a second, people are advertising strip clubs, and I did some research, and you're allowed because it's an age-gated. There's no chance of a child being in there, no one underage. But the movie theaters, malls, buses, the OCS advertises everywhere, and they're the only players in the game that can. The OCS is also OCS.com, where you can buy weed, like, directly from them.
Like, but other like grow like Tweed and Canopy and all of these other companies aren't allowed to advertise.
Nope.
Anywhere.
No.
Not even on this show.
they're not really allowed.
Okay.
There's ways around everything in right. the cannabis industry, yeah. and there always has to be a first player. Like, there's got to be someone to push the boundaries and break the rules. I mean, my social media, basically, people say I'm selling drugs and I'm pushing drugs and I'm da da da. I skirt around a lot of different compliance things, but somebody has to, because it's just nonsense. It's absolutely yeah. nonsense. And the bud tenders and kids, I mean, they're in their 20s. They're not allowed to talk to you about what, you know, if this is for pain or if this is for sleep or if this is like, just the regulations and the rules are ridiculous. But the OCS can make pamphlets, commercials talking about sleep, pain, your grandma's arthritis, your whatever, da, 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 but nobody else can.
Listen, I'm a lot more likely to trust somebody who actually uses the product and understands the feelings that you get from the product and the good stuff you get from the product before somebody who just wants to, you know, make sure that there's 8% on this and 12% on that and an extra 35 on this, you know, for something they had nothing to do with in the first place. So,
and there was talk about taxing a higher tax margin, higher tax bracket, for the companies that make the real high THC or that pushing the real THC. So because they're the ones that everybody wants, when you go into a store, you ask for highest THC. Now the government's like, oh, they're the ones with the extra money. So let's tax them even more.
Do we pay higher taxes for bottles of alcohol that are higher alcohol content?
No, we don't. And there's advertisement everywhere, and kids can go in the liquor store, and that's another thing. I'm very, you know, cannabis stores are all blacked out. Like, they say that's a safety issue or whatever. Yeah, it's a safety issue for the freaking kids working inside, for the people that are being robbed during the day, and everyone's just out walking by and don't even realize there's a robbery going on right there at gunpoint because that's it's all blacked out. It's really point. It really, really bad. In Alberta, it's a mess. Like, it's like the Wild West.
You could say that about any number of issues in Alberta.
I love Alberta.
I do. My biggest concern about this whole story about the THC levels plus minus 15%. A few months back, Jackie, on this show, Tid insisted live on the air that I get really fucked up. So I ate 20 milligrams of chocolate and then a 10 milligram drink, 30 milligrams of THC. That's the most I've ever had in my life in one sitting, ever. I was so fucked up. I couldn't feel my legs. I couldn't make words come out of my hole. I couldn't do anything. My home studio is about 30 feet away from my bedroom. I couldn't find, I'm calling Tid. I can't get to bed. I can't get to bed. He's like, he's talking me through it. You'll be okay. Just one step at a time. You'll be, have some orange juice. You'll be okay. And I can't fucking, why did you tell me to get orange juice? I don't have any. And I'm so fucked up. Okay. And now I'm realizing, plus minus 15%, I might have got that fucked up on 5 milligrams.
A drink
is might be the ultimate lightweight.
Drinks are interesting. Drinks hit differently. Drinks are, oh my God. Are made differently. And I know most of them are, a lot of them are 5 milligrams, but 10 milligram being the max, they hit differently and they can really fuck you up.
I'm telling you, when I took the 20 milligrams of chocolate, I was starting to feel a buzz. And I was like, okay, I'm good. I'm happy. And when I chugged that drink, ball game. Like, that was it. Over the moon.
I like 150 milligrams every night.
Yeah. I would die.
I love it.
Well, that's about where I'm at. 150 to 200. If I just want to like be done for the evening,
yeah,
250. Mm. You know what I mean? I'll go up to like 250 and just be like, don't talk to me till the morning.
That's what, you know, I mean? If I'm going to shut it down, I'm going to watch a movie and I'm not, my phone is nowhere near me because I don't want to scroll. I don't want to message anyone accidentally. I'm just out. Like, I'm done. That's 250 is a good one.
Okay. Last story before we let you go. I want to throw this one at you. This one is another, we see stories like this every now and then. This one is the extreme of the extreme of the extreme. In Pennsylvania, some fucking guy walked into a library and returned an overdue book. How overdue was it? 120 years. What? This library book still had the little stamp in the pocket inside. Aww. That said it was checked out in 1904 to a guy named Horace. There's nobody named Horace walking around today. But in 1904, Horace checked out this book. My first thought was, what's the overdue charge on a book that's 100? So they said based on the 1904 fees of 2 cents a day, the penalty would be $872.82. Based on today's rate at that same library of 25 cents a day, the penalty would be $10,910 and 25 cents for that one extra day.
What was the book?
You know what? That's the funny part. I didn't see. Oh, here it is. The Crusade of the Esmeralda by Harry Collingwood.
They would have just burned that by now anyways.
They weren't looking for it.
For today's consumption.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It must be a sleeping pill because it took the guy 120 years to get through it.
Did he find it in the attic or something? Or was it his grandparents? Or that's weird.
That we don't have information on. But let me ask you this. Here's the way I'm going to turn it around back to you, Miss Childs. Have you ever borrowed from someone or rented from an establishment, whether it was an old VHS from Blockbuster or a library book or anything, or borrowed from a friend? Have you ever borrowed or rented anything that after a while you're like, fuck it, it's mine now?
Yeah, video from, remember when variety stores used to rent videos?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I rented I don't even remember the movie, but I remember moving out. I was 21, 22, moving out of my girlfriend's place. Like, we'd lived together and we used to walk over and rent movies. And when I was moving out, I found it. And I was like, shit, I should return this. And I was like, no, I'm not going to. Oh my God, imagine what I owe and they're going to freak out. No, I'm just going to keep it. But then years later, I ended up at a party in that neighborhood and I stopped to get ice at a variety store. And I was like, oh, this is the, and I had had a few, I wasn't driving. I know. Yes. We stopped to get ice. I wasn't the driver and I had had a few drinks previously. So when I went in, I was talking up the guy. Oh, I have a movie from here back 20 years ago. And I told them and they're like, bring it back. Oh my God, we won't charge you. That'd be so funny. They were all super nice about it. It was the owner's kid probably, but had the people I rented it from, they were really like, they weren't, what, like, you couldn't bring it back. I don't remember.
Porn.
No, it wasn't. I was too embarrassed to ask for, because you had to, they were in variety stores, the porn was up or behind. You would have to ask for it, or you had to, like, you couldn't just take it and go, like, I was too shy back, like, to actually, even though I would do porn, I wouldn't go, I wouldn't rent it.
There was a convenience store in my neighborhood when I was a teenager, and they had, Tito will remember this, I don't know if you will, Jackie, but they had that arcade game, the old video game, the stand-up arcade game, and it was the, what was it called, WrestleFest, Tid? With like Hulk Hogan and Jake the Snake and all those guys, right? And it was such a popular video game. Like, there would be teenagers lined up to play this thing, pumping their quarters in, and there was Street Fighter 2 right next to it. So if you're not playing WrestleFest, you're playing Street Fighter 2. But this little convenience store was so small and narrow They didn't have room for these games, but these games were major cash grabs. So he had to put them in the back behind the curtain where all the porn was. So here we are, a bunch of 16-year-olds and 15-year-olds pounding buttons and going, it's not my turn, but apparently black girls do it better. I'm just reading all the titles.
Right beside. Oh my goodness. I haven't been to a variety store in a while. Do we still have variety stores?
They are around. Video Star is harder to find.
Yeah. Have you ever go ahead.
Have you ever borrowed something and just never given it back? Be honest.
Yeah. Rent-A-Center. Remember Rent-A-Center where you could go get like a stereo and a couch and a TV and furnish your entire house?
Yeah, oh, does that place still exist?
Probably not because I took all their shit.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you would just sign up for this rental thing and then just take it and move. Whatever.
Back in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, before
everybody
the internet.
Everybody furnished their place with Rent-A-Center.
Oh my God.
I wish I was smarter back then. Like, think of the crimes I could have committed that, like, you know, now there's a camera everywhere and there's there's your phone traces your every freaking heartbeat.
Like, this makes a lot of sense because I remember visiting all the various places you lived at in the late 90s, Tid, and you always had great shit in your place. Now I know where it all came from.
Just saying.
You just kept it.
I also distributed a fair amount of cannabis, and people would trade me for things.
A lot of jobs?
No, like TVs and you know, stereos.
Oh. So you take
the I use cannabis as currency.
Yeah.
You take the TV from Rent-A-Center and then you trade it for a half pound of weed?
You could do that, or you just have another TV. Remember, sometimes I would have more than one TV because you needed one for the bedroom too, right? Nice new pair of Filas back in the 80s. Yeah, whatever you need.
Filas. I have a personal dilemma on this subject, and you guys can weigh in and tell me what I should do. I was working my corporate gig, okay? And I was at this one company, big national company in Canada. I'm not going to say who they are in the air. But big national company that everyone in Canada is familiar with. And I was working at the head office in a pretty prominent role. We were working on a project that required me to get an Oculus headset. So the company purchased an Oculus headset for me, virtual reality headset, take it home, use it, blah, 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 blah. So I did. The project we were using the Oculus for ended. They never asked for it back. I had it at my home for a whole nother year. Nobody ever mentioned the Oculus. I left the company. Nobody ever asked for the Oculus. I've been away from that company for a year now. So this is now two full years since the time I no longer needed the Oculus.
It's yours.
I've had this thing in my possession for 2.5 years. My former manager sent me a text the other day and said, hey, you know that headset? Would you mind dropping by the office and dropping it off? So I'm like, I totally forgot that I have that. And I'm wondering, like, do I just pretend like keep ducking it or am I required to give it back now?
I don't know. What's I think worst? It's your.
Yeah.
Is it
theft under $1,000 if I don't?
Is it though?
People don't have the time for that. And like, isn't it outdated anyways? If it's over a year or two old or if it's I don't know.
It's pretty sick. I updated the software on it. It's great.
Yeah, the smart money, because you've fucked up already. The smart would have been like, what are you talking about? I dropped that.
That was left my desk. I returned that thing 2 years ago.
That was on my desk.
That was on my desk when I walked out. I took my personal belongings and I left. That was there on the desk. If you guys don't have it there, how's that my problem 2 years later?
Yeah.
Bro, I had this argument with Bell once over a pay-per-view when I returned a fucking satellite thing to him. And then they sent me a message a year later about a pay-per-view. And I was like, what? show me anywhere in the history of me ever renting a pay-per-view like this ever before in the entire thing. And they couldn't find one whatsoever. So they got rid of the pay-per-view. It was like $100. They got rid of the pay-per-view cost for it. It was Survivor Series. Yeah, I totally fucking rented it.
But a year later, you're like, it wasn't even that good. I'm not paying for it.
I'd already seen it. I'm not paying for it now.
I've already seen it. You reminded me of one time I got yelled at for reading a magazine in line. They actually, you're not allowed to read magazines in the line before you buy them.
Really? God, you're right.
Really? I used to go waste hours as a kid just going through magazines.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, before the days of the internet, that's how you saw titties.
Yeah.
You reach up to the top shelf. Good thing I'm tall.
You had to turn the TV on and off really fast, skip from channel 12 to 13 really fast, and it was
oh my god,
tremendous.
I used to do that on the scrambled channels. You'd get like a glimpse of a nip, and then it would go blue and shaky.
Yeah, I remember watching Porky's. I came home for lunch and I watched Porky's, and that was just like, wow, I can't wait to be like 18. I think I was like 13 or something.
I can't wait to go to the swamp.
The other day, funny you say that, just a couple weeks ago, I rewatched for the first time since I was a child, like literally since I was a small child, probably my son's age, I rewatched Revenge of the Nerds.
When
I was a kid, I had that on VHS, like a copy that I had recorded off City TV. So you had to fast forward the commercials. I can't tell you how I wore out that tape on every booby scene. Because I'm just like, pause.
Such a good movie. Kids today don't get it. Kids today have
no idea. Because it's too accessible.
They missed it.
People like you, Jackie.
People like me who made it cheap and easy.
Put it all out there.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. You can't find it. Don't look for it. It's not out there.
No, and you know listen. What? Someone said to me this morning, what happens with a troll, a lady, a girl, whatever the fuck she was. She said, when the internet goes, or when the Instagram, your Instagram goes down and there's no more social media, you're going to be nobody like you were before. You da da da. She went on and on and on and on. And I've been thinking about that a lot. Like, I want to make sure I'm not an Instagram model or an Instagram. Like, I want to make sure I offer the world other things than just stupid shit on social media.
Dude, they're not getting rid of the internet.
I was going to say, what is she smoking?
Oh, she lost her mind today on me.
Crazy. Oh, for wow.
Nothing. No, the internet is just a fad. It's going to be gone soon, okay? Yeah. It's going to be gone.
It's going to be the first
thing. You're going to die.
The first thing, that's going to be the first thing that Jesus gets rid of when he comes back, I'm sure. He's going to get rid of the fucking internet, all right?
And on the seventh day, Christ rose and said, fuck Instagram.
Yeah.
Everybody, listen, if you want to find out more about what Jackie Childs is up to, all you have to do is go to her socials and become one of the millions of people that follow her across all platforms. Yes, Jackie?
Right now, if they go on my socials, Facebook, Threads, Twitter, I haven't put it on Instagram yet. I will.
You even use Threads?
Yeah. Wow. And I've got like 6,000 or 7,000 followers on it. I just started it. I started it and I had 5,000 the very next day.
Imagine how many you'd have if you showed your tits.
I'm trying to show my brain.
And you're doing a great job. You are doing a fantastic job, Jackie. So, good for you, man.
Thank you. And what I was going to say is if you go on all those socials right now, I have a charity fundraiser. Like I'm donating Christmas presents to local seniors' homes. I've collected, like I look like I'm in a warehouse right now. There are hundreds of gifts. Since I put their Amazon wish list. It gets sent to me. And on December 16th, I'm delivering it all to seniors that more than half of the seniors in Hamilton, Ontario, more than half of them wake up to nothing on Christmas morning. Wow. So I'm for sure I've got at least 100 of them covered. So I'm so thankful.
We here at the Godfathers of Podcasting will contribute to that cause. I tell you right now, we will.
$5. Like the things that these people asked for brought tears to my eyes. I couldn't believe what their wishes were.
So we will donate. And in addition to that, in the spirit, I'm also going to get a present for my favorite senior, which is Chris Tidwell. I'm going to get him a Christmas present for the first time ever. And that's what we're going to do, but make sure you jump on board with that amazing cause. Go on Twitter or X, whatever the fuck you want to call it, Threads, Instagram, Facebook. You can find her on all the platforms if you just search Jackie Childs, and she will come up. And that's all you got to do. We'll post the shit up on godfathersofpodcasting.com. You'll be able to find her. And it's just that simple. But listen, if you're trolling her socials because you're horny, it's not going to work, okay?
I'm still flirty and fun. I mean, like you said, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I still am who I am. I'm just no more, not crossing any crazy lines anymore.
I just had a flashback to that John Legend song when he's like, show me your genitals because I can't put my dick in your PhD.
See, I love that shit. I love it. Facebook is my biggest platform and where I want most people. It's at 22 million reach right now. It's like, it's doing great. Getting to the first million was a freaking nightmare and really hard. After that, it's been crazy.
And just to give people a quick peek behind the curtain, here's how sweet of a human being Jackie Childs is. The first time she was on this show, she's like, I'm going to promote the interview. I'm going to tell everyone about it. So not only is she posting about it on all her stories and her platforms, she then sends me a fucking snapshot of the analytics of how the posts are doing. She's like, here's how many people saw my post. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, your reach is insane, but you're such a professional that you're like, I want you to see what I'm doing right now. And I'm like,
I like to track everything I'm doing. I think awesome. My time is worth money. Everything's worth something to me. Everything, every hour of the day, everyone, I want to make sure if I'm doing podcasts and doing things, I'm like, it's being shared and viewed.
I love it.
Engaged.
Although I did get scared. I called Tid and I was
like, I think this bitch is going to invoice us.
Never. Never. Thank you. I love this. You know what? My mind has been in a weird space right now. So this was great.
We love you, Jackie. You're the best. You're a friend of the show. You're a friend of ours. We're all going to go out and do fucking oysters. Okay.
Okay. For sure.
We're going to crush some fucking dirty oysters and we're just going to go to town.
I could win an oyster eating contest.
Nope.
Totally. Not
with these two hosses. Are you crazy?
Oh my goodness. I could actually hear my husband yelling. She could. She could. Seriously.
Wow. Because you know, I'm going to show up on the downside of 250 milligrams and not eating anything all day long. Right. And oh yeah. Sweetie, we are going to throw the fuck down.
I'm going to do the same thing. So,
all right.
You were showing up on the downside of 250 pounds. And I was like, whoa, he's going to starve himself and then go have oysters.
Yeah, that makes no sense. I'm going to balloon. I'm going
to
show
we
up
have with to a figure out
bag underneath my sweatshirt.
We will figure out off air what this oyster eating wager looks like because. This is going to be filmed. This is going to be content.
Yeah.
Everything's content.
And you're fucking going down, child.
No way.
Not like a year ago. Oh!
That's a good one. You're funny, Chris.
And on that note, thank you so much. We've gone over time, but you've been amazing. Go enjoy your family festivities and everything else.
I keep seeing people whiz by. So, all right.
We're just all going to get out of here at the same time, I think, tonight. You know what I mean?
Let's wrap it up then.
You know what I'm saying? Right? All of my stuff.
Let's do the sign off right now. That's Jackie. He's Tid. I'm Donnie. This is episode 160 extended time. Thank you so much for joining us. I don't know who's coming on next week. The week after, we got Stephen Brogan of Degrassi fame. Make sure you come tune us in. Go to Godfathers of Podcasting or anywhere you get podcasts to check out all of our archives because we have amazing interviews with all kinds of amazing people, including two previous interviews with this great woman, Jackie Childs. Go check them all out. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell everybody, spread the word. We'll see you next time.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me, I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Alright then. I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.